Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Well, not quite, but you do get DOC and Denton Day one more week as Coach Sheehan's world tour from the games over in France to golfing in Ireland to where, I mean, this world tour that he's on. It's an annual thing with the exception of the Olympics. But anyway, we're obligated to maintain that standard. So, Brother Day, how are you? How was your weekend?
Weekend was good. It was hot this weekend, Doc. It's been hot every weekend in the summer, but the weekend was good. Got a lot accomplished. I was at camp yesterday for the first time this season, the only time I could get to go this year, so I was excited to be out there.
Wow. So you got a chance to see number five.
Finally got to see him in person. Hype was worth it. He lived up to all of it.
Yeah. He's an impressive young man. And if it were the Olympics and he was just on his own, no doubt about it, I think he'd be destined for gold. Unfortunately, he's one of 11. And so it's got to all work in concert. And I think they're doing the best they can to try to smooth that thing out. I was disappointed that Caleb Williams did not take at least a possession in the Hall of Fame game. But that's just me. I'm never going to change. I just think football players should play football, and they should play tackle football. But I know that that's a dying age, and it's going to be phased out, and eventually they may not even wear pads. So I get it. But I don't know where you stood on that. We didn't get a chance to chat. Did you think that the former Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams, Hall of Fame game, you're in Chicago, one of the classic Bears is being inducted in a ceremony that was so touching. Great job for the Bears and what they did. Man, that was, oh, man, it was great. Did you think the Trojan, would have killed him to get a series in?
I don't think it would have killed him, but I think he didn't play because nobody else played. And my thought on that is, Doc, that you want to get your guys reps with the ones that he will be working with. So when everybody else plays, you'll get reps with everybody else. You'll get reps with the ones. I felt like it, from their perspective, I could view it as it might be doing him maybe not a disservice, but there's nothing to gain from him not playing with guys that he will actually be playing with.
I got you. And I could be forced to understand that. I'm just never going to convert. You're here to play football. Everybody should be playing football. Everybody should be in pads. And the first team should start off. If they can't get a series in, then what the hell am I doing paying them? I'm never going to buy into this new crap until they prove to me you can get the desired results. Hell, the Chiefs are the only people in the Niners that consistently win under this touch flag football garbage that's being presented throughout the NFL. So I'll let it stand at that. The good news, for those of you that don't care, because you're going to make money either way based on whether you're wagering on it or you got a fantasy team. So I understand you don't really care. Bottom line for you is that you win. And so Jaden Daniels now will play for the Burgundy and Gold. And I'm telling you what, I was delighted to hear that because it wasn't guaranteed. And you just illustrated why it wasn't. But I'm happy the fact that we'll get a chance to see the young fella under live bullets. The first live action he will have been under as a professional.
I was excited when Dan Quinn said that he was going to play. Because remember, we had the conversation. It was the last time that you were in the seat for a week about whether or not he should play in the preseason. Your former guy, Joe Theismann, came on and said, I don't think he should. So I'm glad that they're putting him out there just to get a little bit of the action.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I mean, sooner or later, you have to play. It's tackle football. And you got to play it in order to get good at it. And you just can't camouflage it. We're down to three games now as opposed to four. And they want to add another. You're going to eventually get to 18. We all know that's going to happen. Just a matter of time. And I'm going, what the hesitancy of actually, especially for the young guys who've never played at this level. Now, for the veterans, yeah, they'd rather be doing something else. But for the babies, got to throw them in the water. Eventually, you have to play under pressure. And the quarterback is the guy that, how does he get that internal clock going? He knows he's not going to be hit in practice. The receivers go out there and know them defensive backs will get cut if they hit them in practice. Everybody knows. Well, not everybody knows. That was a mistake. People who need to know that it's orchestrated, and rightfully so, because you don't want any wildcatting going on. The best thing you can do is get reps in. It's a mental exercise for the entire team. First of all, you got to find out, can these guys handle what you're putting out mentally? The first test for pro football players is that, can you remember a play and a snap count? Because if you can't, Slim, I can't use you. So this mental exercise is perfect. They've all got to do it. But not everybody approaches these camps in the same manner. That's all I'm saying. They just don't. Everybody has a different twist to it. And I would tend to think that the teams that are consistently in the playoff hunt that win more than the other, I'd kind of like be leaning towards whatever the hell it is they do. Because whatever's been done around here in the past, in case you haven't noticed, doesn't work and hasn't worked. The teams have not been prepared to play in the openers. We've been pathetic. Now, based on the energy, and you saw it up close, I've seen it up close out there. It's a different vibe, brother.
I was just about to ask you that, because so I went to one practice last year, and this is the only practice on Sunday that I'm able to go to this year, and the energy was a complete 180 from what it was last year. But I was curious, as you who's amen. Had the opportunity to go to more practices, like that really does jump out to you when you're watching it.
Oh, amen. Yeah, absolutely. I only need to see it once. It's real. It's not a joke. And that's what, but then again, now you've got, look at your leader. You went from a mortician to a guy that's running Ringling Brothers. I mean, it's energy, man. It's life. DQ, man. I mean, and look how they warm up. You can feel it. It transfers to the crowd that's out there. There's just an energy. And every drill, they're flying around like it's fun. They're out there, they're participating in the game as if they just love it, to where it's not even a financial situation. You know, it's like they got a chance to come out here and do something, and brother, they are going after it. And you can sense that there's competition. I love the way he's handled this with Jaden. And Jaden's so mature that he goes along with this thing. Whoever's heard of a camp where positions aren't being, there's no competition? Who gives away jobs in the summer? Crazy. Not this group. Everybody out there, you can sense guys participate as if, hey, you know what? Man, if I make a play, if I do this, I'll be elevated. It's almost like the new kickoff return rules, and I wanted your take on that. That has energized a lot because everybody's trying to perfect a new deal. And it's special teams based, which to me is awesome because it kind of loses its luster unless we refocus. This organization has always had a commitment to teams. I think it's back now, and the whole league is back. But your take on the return, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Triple thumbs up. Love it.
Yeah, me too.
I've been a huge proponent of bringing this in. It feels like for the first time in, I mean, I don't know, years, all 32 teams are on a level playing field with something new.
Yep.
Like we always, every couple of years, like a wildcat formation, or I mean, here in 2012 with the read option bringing it into the NFL, like every now and again, a team will get a jump off of something and everybody else has to play catch up. And then you kind of go from there. But this is the first time in years that every single NFL team is on an even playing field with this new thing. But this new thing is going to be critical in wins and losses. Like it could be the difference, just a couple of plays between a 7-win team and a 10-win team. And I thought seeing it in action, I watched it twice in the Hall of Fame game and immediately knew you got to take a lot of the DBs off in the return. If you are the attacking team, the kicking team, you can take some DBs. They're fast. They can get around guys, go make a tackle. But if you're in the return and you're blocking, well, you know, DBs are really good at tackling. They're not good at putting a hat on a hat and sealing an edge. No, that's not their forte.
Let's hope they're not.
Yeah. No, so you need big bodies out there, tight ends, linebackers, guys like Chris Rodriguez, if he's not returning. Yeah. You know, a nice thick dude to go seal an edge, put a blocking. Because really, Doc, when it comes to it, there's no second line of defense the way this is set up. So if you get just the slightest of holes for a speedster to get through, it's then him versus the kicker. And if you're not beating kicker, you're not on the roster. So I love the play. I think you're going to see a lot of creativity with it. I saw some creativity yesterday in terms of like pulling tight ends, literally like it was a run play. Like I'm excited to see what some of the brainiacs in this league are going to come up with the play.
And the other thing that even leads to more suspense is they're going to hide all of this until week one. They're not going to show any of this, their gadgets during the preseason. So if you think this is exciting now, wait until week one in the opener. Because they're not giving up their secrets now. It's all hide and go seek in the preseason on every level, offense, defense, and team. So there was a really – it's a surge. It's you know, it's important for the NFL. Obviously, they have inherited this from the UFL. So they're going to do everything in their power to enhance it. And so, you know, that is cool. The Olympics, a year from now, if you and I are on these airwaves, it'll be 100% pro football. And, of course, you know, we keep our eye on the Nats and the O's and the whole nine yards. Now, I don't know how you've been dealt with the coverage. I don't know if he's even hooked you up. Did you take a private flight over? But the Olympics... Dude, I am seeing it in my sleep. I'm watching so many things I didn't even know existed. And I wonder, we'll get to the big boys on the podium, but is there one event that you are witnessing for the first time? Anything caught your eye? What could Denton Day, because I see you participating in a number of these events that are just blowing my mind.
I mean, in terms of things that I'd never watched before, I had never watched canoeing of any kind.
Yep.
Or kayaking, canoe slalom. Yeah, kayaking. Didn't know that was a thing. Didn't know those two words went together.
Me neither.
I think it's fascinating. I mean, one of my favorite sports to watch, Doc, that we do not ever talk about on the program is on right now, and that's diving. I think some of the stuff the divers do is
the
masterful.
Double, when the two of them? I don't know what they call it off the platform.
The synchronized stuff, yeah.
The synchronized, dude. I was mesmerized by that. I mean, it's just, and all I can imagine is what does practice look like? It's going to be the gymnastic. The women and the men on that little plank of wood. I mean, it's, I don't know, the beam or whatever you call the horse. Dude, I couldn't walk across it. How much money would you put up? Do you think you could walk? Well, you're still running. You're still a young man, very athletic. So you could walk across the beam, right? Without falling off?
Could I walk across a balance beam? That's a good question, actually. Because my feet are kind of big, so I don't know if I could. I actually don't know if I could walk across a balance beam. That's a good question. If you were putting it depends how much money you're putting up. Like, if you're putting up $10 on me, you're losing the $10. If you're putting up $1,000... I'd lock in a little bit more if you're putting up $1,000 for me to walk across a balance beam. I would respect you in that way.
Yeah, I'm just saying, we're talking about walking. They're flipping. I mean, I'm sitting here going, man, I go, wow. And what does practice look like? I mean, some of these falls off the rings and that they it's brutal. What does practice look like?
Lots of padding.
You know they're slipping and falling.
Yeah, they got every pad in the world around everything for when you slip and fall trying. Like, especially if you are somebody like a Simone Biles, who it feels like at times, Doc, is just making things up as she goes because she's so advanced. Like, you just, if you're in that era, if you're in that altitude where you're making things up that have never been done before, you got to assume in practice there are a couple of tumbles. There are a couple of times where it doesn't go the way that it should. Even though she is the greatest to ever do it, she's not hitting everything on the first try. So the amount of pads that they have just lying around to make sure she's not, you know, dislocating a shoulder, hurting a neck or something like that must be crazy.
Yeah, that's how I thought too. Or why not wear a helmet? Are they wearing helmets in practice? I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm looking at some of this stuff going, wow, the equestrian, the precision. And I didn't realize, man, you've got this monster of an animal, like Twinkle Toes. I'm thinking, and I got to say this, Snoop Dogg, you know the brother's talented. But what his interaction throughout this, I thought the people covering these games have done a fantastic job. I mean, they make it look easy, but you know it's not. It's not. And all the way across the board, I mean, I can't believe it. The ping pong, man, I'm telling you, anything that we've done, we've played badminton, we've played ping pong, all these things, and you see it at this level, and you just look at yourself and go, are you kidding me? And the women's rugby, I'd never seen it before. They got some bad behinds on that one. Tough, rough, rugged, rough riders. So, I mean, it's just, to me, I just can't get into sword fighting. I may have consumed more minutes on sword fighting than any other venue. Couldn't get over it.
That's the one I couldn't get into.
Oh, I could.
Yeah, I couldn't you get in. I couldn't get guy. Into the
see,
fencing.
I grew up with Zorro.
Well, see, I did. I'm into like the Game of Thrones stuff. The problem is, I'm into the Game of Thrones stuff, and I see like flips and things of that nature. And then you see the regular fencing. And you're like, I mean, that's cool, but I've been desensitized.
Okay, I get that. Personality wins this. The boxing is probably the least amount of boxing that I digested, and that's a new first for me. But it didn't, I mean, what Noah Lyles brings to this is what we're accustomed to having it as a boxer. This dude, and then delivered. But then the swimming, the men's and women, the women are so dominant in the pool and on the hardwood. I mean, the Vegas Aces, if they ever decided to just do that 3-on-3 thing, 3-by-3 or whatever they're referencing to, it's over. There's just so many different layers to this stuff. I've been watching, man. I thought, you know, I thought I knew, but I don't know. I know. I was clueless as to how many things are going on that are really exciting, that take a lot, man, the discipline to get into it. It's just crazy. But I got to give it to Noah Lyles. And when you know, he's in last at the 20 and the 40. He's in last place. And that's not even his number one event. I mean, I can't wait. I am so pumped up to see what goes on with the 200.
Yeah, you and me both. One of us has money on that.
Well, I wonder which one that is, yeah. Well, how you doing in that? I didn't know, you know, we didn't even discuss. How do you, and I'm sure you're playing and that you're competitive on this, so you're doing well.
I'm not doing as well as I would like to, though, if Noah... So the bet that I made is that Noah Lyles is going to break a world record in either the 100 or the 200 meter. I knew it wasn't going to be the 100. He's fast, but like the time he ran yesterday, which is a 9.79 officially, that's the fastest time he's ever run, whereas the world record is 9.53 from Usain Bolt in the 09 World Championships. He is closer, though, in the 200. And there's enough of a there's enough of a buildup in the 200 to where that time distance that he is away, which is I think it's like 0.18 seconds away from the world record. There's enough of a distance for him to be able to make that up easier in my mind. So I'm hoping he breaks the world record in the 200.
Well, man, love this dude's energy. It's about team, the training. Love any stories where you overcome a childhood. You know, asthma, man, asthma is frightening. If just like pet dandruff gets me, if you clean up after the dog, if I have to wear a mask, otherwise I'm going to lose it. And if that's any indication of what it feels like, it's terrifying to not be able to breathe. On that, we're breathing. We're off to a good start here in honor of Coach Sheehan, DOC, and Double D, who was killing it. And yeah, brother, I heard you last Friday. Go on with your bad self. We'll be back in a moment.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
This great Olympic coverage on Team 980 is sponsored by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use your savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Boy, bumping time. Bumping time. We'll think back on these summer days next year, because we got action-packed content all over the place, man. And every group has its superstars. In the pool, our women are flat-out dominant.
How about Katie Ledecky this weekend?
Oh, my goodness.
I was watching that 800 meter, and you know she's going up against the girl that beat her in the 400, mm-hmm. and the race was tight for a majority of it, but then she just has that gear that no one else has, that final 100, 200 meters, and you can just see the distance increasing between the two of them. At one point, they were not shoulder to shoulder, but you know, shoulder to about Katie Ledecky's hip,
right.
And then all of a sudden, it was like two full body lengths. She is insane in the pool.
Yeah, man, to have done it this long, which means her life is all about conditioning and discipline. It's not like she trained for this and got one and done. No, she's stringing it together. And what these Olympians do, their life is surrounded by this, and then to have an injury or to slip or to fall. Look how many of them references are to the last Olympics in which they failed or whatever, and they stay with it. Can you imagine the amount of hours put into every discipline? You think they don't want to just go binge and go nuts and, you know, eat an entire sweet potato pie or whatever? I just marvel over, and then the trainers and the coaches, who we don't give a lot of praise to, but I was, you know, watching the women's swimming and just looking at how emotional it is for the coaches on every level, gymnastics, the whole nine yards, and then watching Team USA women's basketball. I'm telling you, man, the Vegas team, they got three women on this team that, if they wanted to put those three on the 3x3, it's over. whatever they put them on. They're just flat out incredible. And yet the world is focused in on this, so it's competitive. You know, it's not a gimme. The German team was physical, man. I guess I'll walk away from this really appreciating how physical the contact sports with all the women were involved in. There's no joking around. I mean, that rugby, soccer, whatever it is, full contact. I mean, they're in beast mode. And that's been refreshing. Yeah, really cool to see.
Is there any... So you mentioned three-on-three basketball.
Yeah.
Is there any dumber Olympic sport than three-on-three basketball? Or am I just a cynical a-hole?
Well, you're not an a-hole, but you are cynical. And if... I mean, look at the sports that are in and you go... That ping pong thing, badminton, I think every sport, I'm surprised they're not shooting marbles.
But I
talked about it a little bit on overtime over the weekends. I go, you know, what are we missing? Why not darts?
I'd watch that over 3-on-3. My issue with 3-on-3 basketball, Doc,
okay,
is that varsity is also playing. Like, I'm not going to watch 3-on-3 when I can go watch LeBron and Kevin Durant in action. Like, at least with badminton and table tennis, like, those are like weird sports to us as Americans because we don't focus in them. But I can get behind why these would be Olympic sports. It just, like, if I give you the opportunity, are you going to go watch the freshman team or the varsity team? You're going to go watch the varsity team. So to me, it just feels weird that there's 3-on-3 basketball and 5-on-5 basketball. It should just be 5-on-5. Like, we're not doing golf and putt-putt in the Olympics. We have golf because golf is the one that people care about. That's just my two cents on it.
We play a lot of 3-on-3 in the gyms, though. I mean, 3-on-3 growing up, blacktop. I just think 3-on-3, not even thinking about what's going on now with Cube and the league, but I always wanted a 3-on-3 league. Like what is happening now, what Cube was working with. Because I think you play a lot of that growing up. You didn't play as much 5-on-5. You played more 3-on-3. Just in my era. Different eras. So that's probably why it's caught on. The question is, are we putting our best in it? Do we have time to do that? That might be a question. Other countries have people full time. They're paying them. Our guys have jobs. So do we want gold in this, and are we willing to allow the best at it? I think that could be debated as well.
I would send, if you're gonna lock in like that, I would then send the All-Stars or some combination of that from Ice Cube's league and not Jimmer Fredette. I mean, God bless Jimmer Fredette. Hope he's doing all right.
Oh, yeah, he's bad. They're great talents, but I don't know why. I guess that's the thing we got to wait on Sheehan to get back to answer. Then why didn't they? Didn't it catch him off guard? Why are we struggling or not dominating something like this? I mean, those are questions I can't answer. But it's definitely, I did think about it in a way that, and if these guys play together, they play in a league in Miami, I understand. So they play together. And they're really good at it. But other countries, I mean, you know, they're putting benefits behind their players. So I think it's being approached in a different way. Could be wrong.
I'd love to see ISO Joe out there getting some buckets like he did. You remember, he earned an NBA contract a couple of years ago from the 3-on-3 tournament. I'd love to see him out there or someone of that nature, right? Like, what's Gilbert Arenas doing? Is he still hooping? Like, if Gilbert gets out there, I'm locked in to watch Gilbert play in 3-on-3. There's no draw for Jimmer Fredette for me now. And then on top of that, Team USA is getting busted up every time they're on the floor. It's embarrassing.
I can't argue that. I hope I never feel good about seeing us not win. You know, I think it's worthy. It's definitely worthy. And interested as to what our vast listening audience thinks about it. The Team 980 listener line is now officially open at 301-230-0980. We're stumped on this. Here's the first question. Do you care? I mean, do you have any interest in the 3-on-3 segment? Is it something that you like to see? I think we know we have enough players in this country that we don't need to break down our men's or women's teams to pull this off. I mean, we're supposed to be the cat's meow when it comes to hoops, but we're not acting like it. And we know that Ukraine, Germany, France, everybody has taken a massive interest in hoops, probably committed more so to it, especially if they're paying and subsidizing their athletes, and we're not. Got to think about it. So it would be interesting. You will have to let me in on the pulse of that based on what the listening audience thinks about it. That's what I have to say. Other than that, we got a lot of room, a lot of things to talk about. Lyles, I'm still, man, really cannot wait. Isn't it cool to have something to look forward to with these events? The coverage, thumbs up. I don't know how you've been viewing it, how you're digesting your Olympics, but they have made it to where how can you miss it? But the thing that got me all weekend was Tyreek Hill named top player in the NFL by players. And I thought, whoever does the list and is smart enough, first of all, you got to have a talent that would even make us even look at it and not laugh. And Reek has that kind of skill set. But everybody knows it's always Patrick. But by doing this, they generated a dust storm. And I wonder, what did you think when you first saw it? What was your initial reaction?
I just laughed.
Right, right.
It wasn't that Tyreek Hill was number one. It's that Patrick Mahomes not only wasn't number one, but wasn't the number one quarterback. And I was like,
dude,
I'm not
giving it. They doubled down. And guess what? Guess who's talking about it? We are. Even though we're laughing and we know why they did it, and had we never heard about them before they did this, now we know about them. And that's the key to this. This is your people, all you youngins. Social media rules. Can I get you to bite? Can I get your reaction? And I think they nailed it. Now, can Reek play? Yep. Yep. He's special. Are you buying in on what the Dolphins did now? big time receiver allocations, quarterback. Everybody got paid. You think it's going to get them to the promised land?
What are we considering the promised land?
Man, you got to be relevant to playoffs.
I think it'll get them to the playoffs.
Okay.
I don't think it'll get them a warm weather game in the playoffs. And they can't play in the cold. They showed us that on multiple occasions. That's not a cold weather team. So I think it'll get them to the postseason, but they're not going to win the I don't think they're winning a home field advantage.
Home field advantage? Man, that means you got to – yeah, I'm with you on that. We've just been notified. G from the shop is up and rolling. It says Michael Beasley would have brought back a gold medal from the Olympics Games if he was on 3-on-3 U.S. national team. That's coming from It's in the Water. Yeah, it just seems like we could have – I don't know. The personnel could have been a little bit better. I just saying. But Reek is good. Dolphins, you believe in it? I mean, look, you put your money where your mouth is.
And my money
thing about
ain't
Double
on
D.
Them.
You betting on them?
Nope. I put my money where my mouth is, Doc, and my money is not on them.
Not on the Dolphins. Yeah, it is, but I don't – I like it. That and Dak. But you love Dak and love Jerry. I mean, Jerry, come on. we should all donate to Jerry's favorite charity because he gives us summer content every year. And he said it from the Senior Bowl. Remember the Senior Bowl? Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. The Dallas Cowboys are all in. Can you decipher that for me? What does that mean?
It means they're going 6-11.
Oh, okay. All right.
They're going to fall apart this year. I can't wait. I am praying on the demise of the Dallas Cowboys, and we're going to have a party together when it's here because that team is not winning 12 games again this year. It's not happening.
Oh, really?
Really.
Okay, that's saying a lot, man. You stepped out on it. You sure you don't want to take a break and reconsider that?
I mean, we can take a break. There is zero reconsidering that will be done. That team is maybe 6 wins is a little low, but they're not going to win 12 games again this year. This year is going to be a disappointment for them.
All right, you heard it right here from the one and only Denton Day. Let's sit on this one for a second. Back after the break, you're welcome at 301-230-0980, the Team 980 listener line.
Major League Baseball, Nationals beat the Brewers yesterday 4-3. Mitchell Parker pitched 6 scoreless innings and struck out 3. Luis Garcia hit a solo shot in the first inning. James Wood hit a bases-clearing triple in inning number 6. In the Olympics, the DMV's Noah Lyles won the men's 100-meter final in a photo finish, edging out Jamaica's Kyshawn Thompson by 0.005 of a second, one of the closest finishes in Olympic history. Lyles clocked in at a 9.79, a personal best in the 100. He's going for the triple, looking to win the 200-meter gold and the 4x100-meter gold to go along with that 100-meter. In gymnastics, Simone Biles misses out on the podium in the high beam after slipping off of the beam. She had won bronze in the event in 2016 and 2020. And the big story locally as it relates to the football team, Dan Quinn announces that Jayden Daniels will play in the preseason opener against the Jets on Saturday. And that's what's trending.
Welcome back. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980. Doc Walker, Denton Day, DH'ing, man, holding this up as Sheehan on his world tour, well-deserved, I might add. And the Olympics, God, I can't wait. I can't wait. L.A. Have you guys decided where he's going to be at in L.A.? Are you going to be in Beverly Hills or Brentwood?
I don't care where he goes as long as I get to accompany him.
Yeah, you and me. Don't say that singular. We go as a unit, all right? Yeah, we're like the Temptations. Chuck in Upper Marlboro, welcome to the Team 980 Listener Line.
Yeah, what's good, Slim? What's up, Doc?
Hey, man, it couldn't be any better, man.
Hey, man, hey, stay blessed, brother. Hey, listen, man, question. Football season around the corner. I can't wait. You know, right now, track and field, the Olympics, doing their thing. Swim team, everybody doing their thing. Basketball team, I'm loving it. But I got a question for you, boy. Why in the world are they dictating the NFL teams going 6-10, 5-10? Like last year, don't get me wrong. Do I like the Cowboys? No. But at the same time, I gotta give them respect where respect due. I mean, they've been kicking butt in the regular season. But my thing is that why in the world are we worrying about people, about their record going on right now? I'm like, we don't know what anybody could do. Didn't nobody expect Kansas City to win the Super Bowl last year with all them injuries, but they did. So we can't dictate what's going to happen. We don't know if Dallas is going to win 10, 11, 12, 13. We don't know if Washington is going to win 10, 11, 12. Who cares? But at the same time, at the end of the day, we can't dictate what's going to go on because it'd be funny if Dallas end up, kicking butt in the regular season. And once again on the radio show, you and your other partners got to be like, well, you know, Dallas, they went in once again in the regular season. Nah, man, come on, man. I mean, anything that happened on any given Sunday, it is what it is. But that's the only thing I'm saying, sir.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion. And, I mean, I think it's all good. I expect them to be what they are all the time. Very, very good until it matters most. And I think the pressure that has built up, we didn't make this up. Don't blame us. We're paid for an opinion. Didn't gave you his opinion. He didn't. Jerry said they're going. What would Jerry say? Jerry said, we're all in. I don't know what that means. I know he loves the fact that we're talking about his team. What team do we least mention, Denton? You ever thought about that? Do you ever go back and go, what NFL team do we least mention on a regular basis? We know which team we mention the most, right?
Right.
What team do we mention the least?
I don't know, probably like the Jaguars.
You know what? Bingo. Bingo. Because as bad as the Jets are, they mention all the time. The Jets are always mentioned. Jaguars. Kind of like not. Even the Seahawks, big time. Pacific Northwest, I mean, they planted a flag. They took themselves out of obscurity years ago. They are a brand, no doubt about it. But the Jaguars, I'm like, Yet they survived one of the worst coaching situations ever. Shows you just because you're good in college didn't transfer to pros. And it's interesting. I mean, really, but Dallas, how could Dallas not be good? Look at that. They got a lot of good players, man. They have a lot of good talent. And the controversy, really, is the controversy or Jerry selling his brand? You ever wonder why they're so popular? You ever think about it? How can anybody maintain this leverage and been void of big-time wins? Think about it. Who else in any other sport gets this kind of ring? That's what to me is fascinating about it. I mean, I know Jerry's intentions, and it works. He keeps his team's name on the tip of your tongue 12 months a year. And yet you know deep down inside, even their most ardent fans know that it's not going to work. But yet they buy in again and again and again. What other sport has that type of buy-in? By a team in another sport. Sixers?
The Lakers.
You know, I want to go with you on it, but I'm thinking, yeah, you don't realize how long it's been. But then the Knicks, to me, are the most powerful force in sports. To me. Because I cannot believe, and the boy, no, slap myself. Browns, the Cleveland Browns fan base, number one in the world. I don't care what anybody says. You find me more people loyal as the Browns backers are, based on the results that their product is delivered to them, and I'll get on that balance beam and flip backwards. I don't think it's possible. For anybody to give more support and love and get, and rewards for what they get. I don't know if anybody can do that, say that other than Cleveland Browns. But the Knickerbockers, orange and blue skies, tell me what equals that.
I mean, I still think the Lakers do. I think anywhere LeBron James goes right now, the big companies are going to follow LeBron, and because he's in Los Angeles with the Lakers, you're selling the thing that the Lakers do, Doc, and that Dallas does, and to an extent, the Yankees do this as well, as they sell nostalgia. They were really good at a time where
that without LeBron, they didn't need LeBron to do that.
They didn't need LeBron, but it helps that they have LeBron, and that's why they're constantly on people's mind. Any team that was good when there wasn't the ability to watch all of the games, they sell nostalgia. That's why, like, Dallas was on television all the time when they were good before Jerry bought the team, because we didn't have the kind of capabilities we have now, and now he's just capitalizing off of that.
And he's also good at what he does. I mean, he is a ringmaster. He is good at this. He has a show as a GM. Who would listen? How could it have any ratings? What are you listening to? You know it's crazy. Why would you keep doing it? But we just keep, well, now we don't, but they do. They keep listening. The dollars don't lie. They're number one in revenue. They're number one in viewership. They haven't had a significant victory in how many years now? 29. And yet every one of them can't wait to put that credit rating, that one star on there and put it in front of you. Tell me I'm wrong. My goal is to try to figure it out. I ain't mad at it. I respect it because it doesn't make sense. And you know Dakota is going to make $60 million a year to play quarterback. Not that he's won a Super Bowl, not that he's done any of that, but he's going to make, and it's not his fault. The sport is healthy.
So which one leaves?
Dakota.
You see, so you think
leaves?
Leaves because they got to pay Dak, they got to pay CeeDee Lamb, they got to pay Michael Parsons, and they got to do it all within like the next 12 months.
Okay, you think Parsons is leaving?
We had a guy from Dallas on a couple months ago, and we asked him about that. We asked him a similar question. I don't even know if Kevin asked him, is Michael Parsons staying? He just asked about the future of Michael Parsons, and the guy was like, I would not be 100% sure that he's going to sign a long-term deal in Dallas. I was stunned by that. But it does kind of make sense the way that this offseason. The reason that I think Dallas is going to be bad this year, Doc, you know, the caller was he was talking about me. The reason I think Dallas is going to be bad this year is because they're a disaster. I don't think they like each other as teammates. I think their coach is a little bit moronic in terms of some of his late game decision making. And they are, as much as Jerry is good at making the television stuff work, he does bring about a unnecessary amount of attention that could be perceived as distraction by not paying your quarterback. I mean, how weird is it that Dak Prescott has on multiple occasions sat up in front of a live microphone saying, I could be playing somewhere else this year. Like, that's a weird thing for a Dallas Cowboy quarterback to say. So I think there's so much going on there. The circus is in full effect, and it makes our lives easier. But I don't think that's going to translate to wins on the field.
And you know what? When you say it, people ought to pay attention to it because you put your money where your mouth is. Top of the hour break we go to. 11 o'clock is going to get better and better. And you know, don't forget, the one and only Ben Standing at High Noon, the author of Standing Room Only, outstanding podcast. Can't wait to talk Burgundy and Gold with Benjamin. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980. Doc Walker, Denton Day, DH'ing, man. Holding this up as Sheehan on his world tour. Well-deserved, I might add. And the Olympics, God, I can't wait. I can't wait. L.A. Have you guys decided where he's going to be at in L.A.? Are you going to be in Beverly Hills or Brentwood?
I don't care where he goes as long as I get to accompany him.
Yeah, you and me. Don't say that singular. We go as a unit, all right? Yeah, we're like the Temptations. Chuck in Upper Marlboro, welcome to the Team 980 Listener Line.
Yeah, what's good, Slim? What's up, Doc?
Hey, man, it couldn't be any better, man.
Hey, man, hey, stay blessed, brother. Hey, listen, man, question. football season around the corner. I can't wait. You know, right now, track and field, the Olympics doing their thing. Swim team, everybody doing their thing. Basketball team, I'm loving it. But I got a question for your boy. Why in the world are they dictating the NFL teams going 6-10, 5-10? Like last year, don't get me wrong. Do I like the Cowboys? No. But at the same time, I gotta give them respect where respect due. I mean, they've been kicking butt in the regular season. But my thing is that why in the world are we worrying about people, about their record going on right now? I'm like, we don't know what anybody could do. Didn't nobody expect Kansas City to win the Super Bowl last year with all them injuries, but they did. So we can't dictate what's going to happen. We don't know if Dallas is going to win 10, 11, 12, 13. We don't know Washington is going to win 10, 11, 12. Who cares? But at the same time, at the end of the day, we can't dictate what's going to go on, because it'd be funny if Dallas end up kicking butt in the regular season. And once again on the radio show, you and your other partners got to be like, well, you know, Dallas, they went in once again in the regular season. Nah, man, come on, man. I mean, anything that happened on any given Sunday, it is what it is. But that's the only thing I'm saying, sir.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion. And, I mean, I think it's all good. I expect them to be what they are all the time. Very, very good until it matters most. And I think the pressure that has built up, we didn't make this up. Don't blame us. We're paid for an opinion. Didn't gave you his opinion. He didn't. Jerry said they're going. What would Jerry say? Jerry said, we're all in. I don't know what that means. I know he loves the fact that we're talking about his team. What team do we least mention, Denton? You ever thought about that? Do you ever go back and go, what NFL team do we least mention on a regular basis? We know which team we mention the most, right?
Right.
What team do we mention the least?
I don't know, probably like the Jaguars.
You know what? Bingo. Bingo. Because as bad as the Jets are, they mention all the time. The Jets are always mentioned. Jaguars. Kind of like not. Even the Seahawks, big time. Pacific Northwest, I mean, they planted a flag. They took themselves out of obscurity years ago. They are a brand, no doubt about it. But the Jaguars? I'm like, Yet they've survived. They survived one of the worst coaching situations ever. Shows you just because you're good in college didn't transfer to pros. And it's interesting. I mean, really is. But Dallas, how could Dallas not be good? Look at that. They got a lot of good players, man. They have a lot of good talent. And the controversy, really, is the controversy or Jerry selling his brand? You ever wonder why they're so popular? You ever think about it? How can anybody maintain this leverage and been void of big-time wins? Think about it. Who else in any other sport gets this kind of ring? That's what, to me, is fascinating about it. I mean, I know Jerry's intentions, and it works. He keeps his team's name on the tip of your tongue 12 months a year. And yet you know deep down inside, even their most ardent fans know that it's not going to work. But yet they buy in again and again and again. What other sport has that type of buy-in by a team in another sport? Sixers?
The Lakers.
You know, I want to go with you on it, but I'm thinking, yeah, you don't realize how long it's been. But then the Knicks, to me, are the most powerful force in sports. To me. Because I cannot believe, slap myself. Browns, the Cleveland Browns fan base, number one in the world. I don't care what anybody says. You find me more people loyal as the Browns backers are, based on the results that their product has delivered to them, and I'll get on that balance beam and flip backwards. I don't think it's possible for anybody to give more support and love and get and rewards for what they get. I don't know if anybody can do that, say that, other than Cleveland Browns. But the Knickerbockers, orange and blue skies, tell me what equals that.
I mean, I still think the Lakers do. I think anywhere LeBron James goes right now, the big companies are going to follow LeBron. And because he's in Los Angeles with the Lakers, you're selling the thing that the Lakers do, Doc, and that Dallas does, and to an extent, the Yankees do this as well, as they sell nostalgia. They were really good at a time where
that without LeBron. They didn't need LeBron to do that.
They didn't need LeBron, but it helps that they have LeBron. And that's why they're constantly on people's mind. Any team that was good when there wasn't the ability to watch all of the games, they sell nostalgia. That's why, like, Dallas was on television all the time when they were good before Jerry bought the team, because we didn't have the kind of capabilities we have now. And now he's just capitalizing off of that.
And he's also good at what he does. I mean, he is a ringmaster. He is good at this. He has a show as a GM. Who would listen? How could it have any ratings? What are you listening to? You know it's crazy. Why would you keep doing it? But we just keep, well, now we don't, but they do. They keep listening. The dollars don't lie. They're number one in revenue. They're number one in viewership. They haven't had a significant victory in how many years now? 29. And yet every one of them can't wait to put that credit rating, that one star on there, and put it in front of you. Tell me I'm wrong. My goal is to try to figure it out. I ain't mad at it. I respect it, because it doesn't make sense. And you know Dakota is going to make $60 million a year to play quarterback. Not that he's won a Super Bowl, not that he's done any of that, but he's going to make, and it's not his fault. The sport is healthy.
So which one leaves?
Dakota.
You see, so you think
leaves?
Leaves, because they got to pay Dak, they got to pay CeeDee Lamb, they got to pay Michael Parsons, and they got to do it all within like the next 12 months.
Okay, you think Parsons is leaving?
We had a guy from Dallas on a couple months ago, and we asked him about that. We asked him a similar question. I don't even know if Kevin asked him, is Michael Parsons staying? He just asked about the future of Michael Parsons, and the guy was like, I would not be 100% sure that he's going to sign a long-term deal in Dallas. I was stunned by that. But it does kind of make sense the way that this offseason. The reason that I think Dallas is going to be bad this year, Doc, you know, he was talking about me. The reason I think Dallas is going to be bad this year is because they're a disaster. I don't think they like each other as teammates. I think their coach is a little bit moronic in terms of some of his late-game decision-making. And they are, as much as Jerry is good at making the television stuff work, he does bring about a necessary amount of attention that could be perceived as distraction by not paying your quarterback. I mean, how weird is it that Dak Prescott has on multiple occasions sat up in front of a live microphone saying, I could be playing somewhere else this year. Like, that's a weird thing for a Dallas Cowboy quarterback to say. So I think there's so much going on there. The circus is in full effect, and it makes our lives easier. But I don't think that's going to translate to wins on the field.
And you know what? When you say it, people ought to pay attention to it, because you put your money where your mouth is. Top of the hour break we go to. 11 o'clock is going to get better and better. And you know, don't forget, the one and only Ben Standing at High Noon, the author of Standing Room Only, outstanding podcast. Can't wait to talk Burgundy and Gold with Benjamin. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.